the passage from Acts 9 and call your attention to a few things. But the first thing I want to equip you with is that most of you know what a GPS is, right? And most of you have used them in your car, GPS. Well, God has what's called an SLS. It's called a saint location system. He knows where every saint is at every moment of every day, no matter what. I hope that's helpful for you because he's not having trouble finding you. He has his SLS going. So Ananias, following his SLS, departed and entered the house. And after laying hands on him, which is what is often done in healing prayer within the church, he said, "Brother Saul," interesting, he didn't call him Paul because he didn't become Paul until after he was baptized, which happened soon. He says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road." This is a confirmation, a gift to Saul that what he had gone through was in fact what he had gone through, and that who he had met was in fact who he had met. Now, I don't know if you think that's important, but I believe that those kinds of confirmations are a gift of grace from God, and they do happen. "Who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, that Lord Jesus has sent me to you." I didn't come here for any other reason than I was sent to do something for you that the Lord commanded me to do. "So I have come that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Gain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, Saul would be able to see straight and Saul would be able to know the truth, because those filled with the Holy Spirit can know the truth. And something, it says these are added words like fish scales, something fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. And he got up and he was baptized. So he believed on Jesus, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got baptized. Those are the criteria by which we judge baptismal candidates. And then he took food and he was strengthened. For you recall, the text tells us that he was on a 3-day fast of food and drink. For 3 days he'd been in prayer, seeking the Lord's face. Then the text says, "And for several days he was with the disciples who were in Damascus. And immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying that he is the Son of God. And he confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving from Scripture, through proof of prophetic identity, through proof of prophetic fulfillment, that Jesus was in fact the Christ." And it blew their minds. They were absolutely amazed because it was all there. All he had to do was start to say, "This is the Scripture and this is what it means. This is the Scripture and this is what has happened. This is the prophecy about Jesus and he fulfilled it. He is the Son of God." Wonderful. So, without apology, I'm offering this baptismal sermon. And I want to share with you that I've had the privilege twice in this month to walk two candidates for baptism through the significance of Christian baptism. And that is to teach them about the meaning of baptism, which is administered through immersion upon profession of faith. So note that today, this day, August the 22nd, 2021, Satan has suffered a significant setback. This day, Satan is facing defeat because Christ has triumphed in the lives of Karen and Matthias, to the point where we can celebrate that victory. Hallelujah. That's what it means. The forces of evil have suffered a defeat, and it's part of God's program of eradicating evil in our world. What do we need more of? More baptisms. Why do we need more baptisms? Because the kingdom needs to come with power. Why does the kingdom need to come with power? So that the forces of evil can be driven out, expelled, defeated. Because this is God's resolve. This is God's purpose. Now, it may sound silly to you to take on the evil one person by person, one conversion after another. But let me tell you, it is more effective than anything we have in the weaponry of the United States Army. It can accomplish more than anything that all the armed forces and bombs and whatever of the world could ever do. It is the most powerful thing in the world. And our confidence has to be in that. Not in chariots, not in weapons of war, but in the Lord our God, who has said, I see the evil, I will deal with it. Satan, your days are numbered. So he's taking ground from the enemy. What an auspicious day, amen? We should have a triumphal entry. We should have a parade. We are living in trying times. We need a parade. It is good of the Lord to give us an occasion to celebrate a signal defeat in his ongoing war against evil. Things are awful in many places around the world. If you look at my prayer guide, I do not limit myself to Afghanistan, but I talk about our need as a country to repent and turn from my idolatry. Our need to turn away from sensuality and licentiousness, lawlessness, spitting on God, blaspheming his holiness. Yes, we have a lot to repent of in America. And Christians have to lead the way because no one else has a clue that that's what needs to happen. But we do. So on behalf of our country, I call us to repentance. Our idolatry might not be made of graven images, but our idolatry is certainly made up of the things and values that we pursue. Who is it that worships wealth and power and status and prestige and followers on the social media and social influence? Think about that. Those are the gods that God wants us to turn away from. Those are the gods he wants us to abandon, to turn back to him, our God, the one true God. We are living in trying times. Things are awful on our border. Things are awful in Afghanistan. But folks, we have simply been called back to our main purpose. This is our work. This is our opportunity. This is what we are saved for. This is what we are saved towards. That's right. This is our moment. And I know that there are things which are beyond deplorable and beyond reprehensible. But the answer is to tell people the story of Jesus and bring them to salvation by your faithful witness to who he is, when he came, what he did, what he has done, how it fits with God's plan to eradicate evil, and to invite them to come over to God's side. Make a choice. Stop serving the devil. Start serving God. So Ananias, interesting character, isn't he? If you read the text carefully, you see that he may not have come freely as happy and because he didn't understand. What he knew of Saul worried him. But he didn't let his prejudice against Saul prevent him from doing what the Lord Jesus had told him to do. Go see him. Lay hands on him. Heal him. Anoint him. Have him filled with the Holy Spirit and get him ready to get out of the starting blocks to get into the program of eradicating evil. So what Ananias does is most portentous. Not pretentious. Portentous. You all know what portentous means? That means super big, like really, really important. In fact, world changing and world shattering. You have been called to do something portentous. Defeat evil. Join God. Be baptized. So he lays on hands, he prays for his sight. He prays for the infilling of the Spirit. It happens. Paul arises. He gets baptized. That's important because upon faith, you're supposed to get baptized. That's what it says. You're filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized. So, how do we know that what Ananias did, which seemed rather common, prosaic, ordinary? How do we know that it was portentous? Because he was calling into service the man who would be responsible for the salvation of millions upon millions upon millions of souls. That's what he was doing. He didn't know that's what he was doing. If he had any other doing, he would have been there lickety-split. You understand? He prepared Saul to undertake the Gentile mission of which we are the beneficiaries. Portentous. God had to take a true Pharisee and make a true apostle out of him. Talk about doing the impossible. He completely altered Saul and created a new creature in him named Paul, who would do good instead of evil, who would serve God instead of serving self. So, the Lord who appeared to you on the road when you came to Damascus has sent me to you. The Lord who appeared to you has sent you somewhere. The Lord who has appeared to you has sent you over and over and over again. To do what? To testify to Jesus, to witness to Jesus, to lead people to salvation. Oh, imagine that. I thought I was going for groceries. But God wanted me to meet someone who was going to lead to the salvation of a whole town in Europe. And all I did was offer up a puny little prayer in the parking lot. How did I know that that would lead to such portentous outcomes? Do you understand? At your, in access to, I don't want to say at your command because it's not quite right, but you have access to all the powers of heaven. That's what you have access to. All the forces of heaven can be loosed through your testimony and your witness into the life of another person. That's what I'm telling you. Heaven can come to earth through you. Hallelujah. And not only that, think about the ramifications of that for church growth. Let's say this week that you got really excited about eradicating evil. You're so excited about it that you dared to tell someone about Jesus. Let's just say that every one of you did that. Do you know what would happen in the state of Maine? Climate change. I'm serious, folks. Climate change would happen if you would just be faithful to call down heaven through your testimony and your witness. Now, you don't stand out there and say, I'm calling down the force. What you do is you lead them to salvation. You lead them to Jesus, and God takes care of the rest. Do you understand? All right. That's important. Important for us to understand. Thirdly, we all should do our bit to set back the evil one. He's really good at persecution, but in order to deal with the persecution, we need to be better at proselytizing. I know that's a terrible word. It's come into such terrible press, but we need to be promoting the cause of God. We need to be promoting the kingdom of God because it's better than persecution. Is that obvious? I hope it's obvious. So the studied obedience of Ananias resulted in really great things for God. So, I say to you, there is not one thing that you do that is insignificant. You think about that. Your choice not to speak about Jesus has consequences. And your choice to speak about Jesus has consequences. There's nothing that you do that is insignificant, because the kingdom work is what needs to be advanced. So today, we baptize Matthias and Karen, a grandson and a grandmother. And here's my prayer. May heaven be loosed on earth through them. May the light of the gospel shine through them. May the Spirit within them do great things through them, including but not limited to the eradication of evil both within us and among us. So I did a couple things at this point this morning that I want to share with you. Does the name Abby Cooper mean anything to anyone? Okay. Does the name Sydney McLaughlin mean anything to anyone? Interesting. Does the name Nevin Harrison mean anything to anyone? So you haven't been watching the news. These are all gold medalists. One in the 5,000K, one in the 400 meters, and one in the canoe race. Now, let me tell you why I bring them up. Oh, I can't do that. I'm sorry. I have to stay in place. Okay, listen. I watched them win the race. I did it a couple times. And I watched them because I saw something in their face that made all the difference in their race. This is what Nevin Harrison said. I wanted it. I wanted it more than anyone else. And that's what gave me the edge. So what do you want? Do you want to win a canoe race? Or do you want to advance the kingdom of God? I need to see in your face that you want it. You gotta want it, or you won't do it. You gotta want it, or you won't win. You might as well not start the race if you don't want to win. Everyone who runs in a race runs to win. Now, I'm not lifting up their moral character or their physical prowess. I'm talking about the determination in their face. They wanted victory. Do you want victory? Or do you just want to throw your guns down and let the Taliban take over and harass, kill, and molest you? Come on, folks. You got to want to win. It's war, and we need to win. So I looked up the name Karen. That was a trip. Karen, I'm so sorry, but you're old enough for this not to apply to you, okay? I learned that Karen is the pejorative term used these days for an obnoxious, entitled, racist, and classist, middle-aged, white, angry woman. Close-minded, very vocal, with often ignorant religious opinions. That's what a Karen is today. That's not what this Karen is, but that's what a Karen is in our... So I said, I'll have to deal with that, because there are going to be people in the congregation who've heard Karen used in that pejorative way. It's that entitled middle-aged lady with a haircut that's kind of distinctive who says, take me to the manager. Like she was a character out of Star Wars. What does Karen really mean? What does it mean behind the meme? Well, what it means actually is pure. It means pure. It means clear. God has spent some time with Karen, purifying her and clarifying her. And it was my joy to hear some of that when we talked about baptism. It was just wonderful that she's proving true to her name. But in the Bible, it goes beyond pure and it goes beyond clear to a ray of light. And so I put this picture up front called light. I want you to see it because it's a wonderful depiction of light. Let that work on you. Let it be as light to you. So, I then read a description of a Karen who described herself as very intelligent but humble, a giver, a believer, a second chancer, someone who is very direct and forthcoming in her speech. I'm afraid Karen is fairly forthcoming in her speech. That probably does point in her direction. And in fairness, I also looked up the word Matthias. Now, I'm not going to ask if anyone knows what that means because someone's here who gave them that name and they certainly know what it means. Matthias means gift of God. Gift of God. My name's Samuel. It means asked of God. Matthias's name is different. It means gift of God. And we think, with good reason, that it's a form of Matthew. And it is very interesting that Matthew appears in the scripture as one of the original 12 and as the add-on, Matthias, after the betrayal of Judas. So there are two, at least, Matthias Matthews in scripture. Then I found out there's a whole bunch of stuff about Matthias that is found in 2 Maccabees, which of course is where the Roman Catholics go, and they have all of this mythology about Matthias that I'm not going to pass on to you. But what I learned is that both Karen and Matthias are faithful witnesses. And I felt so rewarded in my name search. What does this name mean? And when you speak a name, what are you hoping? Karen, I am hoping that you are light. Matthias, I'm hoping that you are a gift of God to those you meet, to those who are changed by having come into contact with you. May you be powerful for God. May you be influential. So we're going to baptize Matthias and Karen now that we know who they are. So it's very important, beloved, for you to decide today what you're going to get your head into. And part of getting your head into something is getting your head out of something else. I can tell you that if you want to win the race, you won't be thinking about what you're going to cook for dinner tonight. I can assure you, you won't be worried about what's going on around you. You'll be so focused on getting yourself across that finish line with such determination that all other distractions will be pushed aside. And this is what you're here to do. You are here to run the race and win. We are here to advance the kingdom of God. That's what we're here for. And it's not about your sexual dysphoria, your gender confusion, your racial identity, your ethnic claptrap. It's about the kingdom of God. And God is calling his people together, and we are part of that movement because when the people of God are finally assembled, he will appear and evil will end. That's what's written. That's what's written. Are you excited? I can't wait for evil to end. Is your head into it? Are you thinking, wow, I was baptized. I'm part of this. I'm on the team. I need to get my head into the game. So there's a lot of things that people worry and fret about. I love this. There was a clip on the news. It was so great. And so they were on a college campus and they were asking these women, are women oppressed in America? Yeah, they really are. It's just really sad how bad off women are in America. I mean, they meet prejudice everywhere, man, and everything's against them. And so then the interviewer said, okay, so it's really bad in America for women. Yeah, it's really bad. We're really oppressed. Oh, okay, she says, good. So tell me how you feel about the women in Afghanistan and how they're treated and what's happening to them. Oh, well, maybe we don't have it so bad after all. Maybe we're not oppressed except in the finitude of our own mind. Maybe we are free. Maybe we are blessed. Maybe we should stop complaining and maybe we should start proclaiming. Do you see the difference? Jesus has set us free. I don't care whether you're a woman or a man. Jesus has set you free to be a man. Jesus has set you free to be a woman. He set you free. Free. Act like it. Get your head into it. Be determined to win. So we are so ready. I know we're so ready. Because last week I preached. I was thinking about baptism last week, although I didn't tell you. Remember when I said I want you to memorize a piece of scripture? I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I'm just going to reiterate the request that you memorize this piece of scripture. Please do it. It's absolutely essential that you have it in your head. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality. Say that to everyone who accuses you of being white or black or racist. Say that. God shows no partiality. You can take it from me because it came from him. I certainly understand. But in every nation, those who fear him and do what is right are acceptable to him. Wow. What's the condition? Being allied, connected to God. If you are God's, you are my brother and my sister. I don't care what shade you come in. I don't care what gender you're in. What I care about is that you and I are stuck with each other forever. We better start getting along now. Praise God. And then he says this, in every nation, those who fear them are acceptable to God. Then he says, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel. Do you know what that means? The word that he sent? Oh, you mean, did he send them a bulletin? No, he sent his son. And when he sent his son, the word, he had some things to do and some things to say. And that's the word that God sent to Israel. Can you enumerate it? Can you give me 10 things that Jesus did to heal those who were oppressed by the devil, to help those who were in distress, to save the... Can you give me 10? How about 20? Can you give me 30? There are many, many more in the scripture than that. And yet Christians stand around and go, tell me the stories of Jesus and fill them with the things that he did and said. Come on, people. We have the script. All we have to do is hang it on the framework that is given to us in this passage. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Got that? Peace and Lord, they go together. If Jesus is not your Lord, you have no peace. But if Jesus is your Lord, you will have peace no matter what your circumstances are. And so he says, you yourselves know what happened throughout Judea. How many people have Bibles? Okay, have any of you read them? Have you noted them? Are you paying attention to them? Are you looking at what's in them and saying, oh, I need to know the stories of Jesus. Where could I find those? Oh, I'll go on the internet. No, don't go on the internet. Just open the Bible. Just read it. These are the things that happened, starting at Galilee with the baptism of John, all the way to when he was crucified. And he says here, you know Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went around doing good. How many good things did Jesus do? Many, many, many good things. Can you tell me any of them? Okay? This is really critical. There must be a million people in New York City whom you don't know. Right? Name one of them. Now, do you see the folly of that, folks? How foolish that is? Come on. We know what Jesus did. We're not guessing about it. He went about doing good, healing those who were oppressed by the devil. And we are witnesses of what? All that he did. That's why I'm saying we need to know the story of Jesus. You've got to have it cold. We ought to be able to recite it. We ought to be able to complete it on the subway between the first stop and the last stop. We ought to be able to fill that time with a testimony of all the good things that Jesus did. Or you could read your newspaper. Or you could hide in a book. Or you could pretend not to talk to anyone. Or you could act afraid and protect yourself. Choice is yours. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Do you want to win? Get your head in the game. And so Peter goes on. They put him to death, hanging him on the cross. How long was he on the cross? Anyone know? Do you ever pay attention? Hours, right? Just hours. Short, brief hours. Okay, how long was he in the tomb? 3 days. Great. What happened after the third day? He rose from the dead. Did you know that? Are you a witness to that? Are you a witness to those who were a witness to that? You see, that's what he's saying. After Jesus rose from the dead, they ate and drank with him. They were firsthand witnesses of the crucified and risen living Lord. And we bank on their testimony. They were there. They saw him. They ate with him. They drank with him. That makes what Jesus did after his resurrection real, tangible, historical, accurate, factual. Do you know the facts? Oh, don't bother me with the facts. I'm into feelings. Repent of your idolatry of feelings. Go back and say, the things that have happened at the hand of God for the sake of my salvation are out there and real, and they don't depend upon my mood. They don't depend upon my take. They don't depend upon my faith. They are what they are. Facts. That's right, Isaac. And then what did the Lord tell us to do? It says here that the Lord ordered us to preach. Does anyone not understand that? What does it mean for Jesus to say, go preach? Oh, he must mean hire a minister. Let the minister preach for us. Isn't that what he said? Go hire a minister so he can preach for you. What did he say? You go, you preach, you witness, you testify. You want to know why the church is in sad shape? If it is in sad shape, because actually it's not as in sad shape as some people think it is. It's because we are not doing what we've been told to do. My coach sent me into a football game late in the game, and he clapped me on the shoulders and he said, you stop that boy. He was talking about the All-State halfback that was eating us up on the field. My job was to stop that boy. Okay? Now, do you know why I stopped that boy? I was told to. If you think I wanted to run up against a 200-pound thundering halfback, you need a reality pill. It was terrifying. This guy was huge. He was fast. He was strong. But my coach said, you stop that boy. So I went out on the field and I stopped him. And you know what happened? After I stopped him for the second time, he picks me up out of the mud and he says, you're a sleeper. Your coach is really smart. We won that game because I stopped that boy. And I stopped that boy because my coach had confidence that he had trained me and prepared me and equipped me to obey him. And when he said, stop that boy, he knew I would do it. I'm sorry, I shouldn't tell football stories, should I? We are so ready. All right. Well, I think I'm done. I think I have said what God would have me say to you. Today is a baptismal day. This is a day for us to renew our baptismal vows. Remember the promises you made when you were dipped under? Remember the cleansing that you received when you were washed in the atoning blood of Christ? Symbolized by the water that washed away all your sin, cleansed and pure. Do you remember that? And you came up out of the water and you were saying, follow Jesus. I can do this thing. I can follow Jesus. Isn't that what you said? It's what I said. It's what I was told. It's what I was challenged to. I'm going to tell you something. Satan's having a heyday out there. You understand? You stop that boy. Is that clear? May the Lord bless you in this mission. May your tackles be awesome. May your hindrances be insurmountable. May you stop that boy. Amen.